Hello, everybody, and welcome to Honey Badger Radio. My name is Brian, and I'm here with Lauren, Brooks, and Natty. Natty is being represented by that queen. We're gonna get Natty her own little avatar, but for now, she's gonna go with our British Badger queen. So welcome to the show, Natty and Lauren. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Natty, how are you?
I'm not bad.
How's the baby?
He's asleep next to me, so
okay.
I gotta make sure he's not gonna be woken up, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, no, it seems pretty quiet. So this is the week in men's rights. We're just gonna be talking about some of the little things that have happened this week. This might not be a really long show, but there is some interesting stuff going on and some stuff that I've been talking about that I wanted for a long time. We're going to be discussing. I'm really happy to see. So, but before we do, I think Natty, you have some things you wanted to share. A couple things that I can think of, but why don't you tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods? What's going on across the pond, as it were?
Okay. So I guess what I wanted to talk about was the project that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have started a project called the Non-Feminist Women's Liberation Network, and it's obviously got a bit of a pun in the name, because we all know that back in the 60s the original feminist movement was called Women's Lib.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has actually trademarked that that specific term, it appears. There are people out there that have got Women's Liberation Front or other names before women or after liberation, but not just Women's Liberation Network. So the idea is that it is a monthly peer-run group for women who are actively wanting to reject feminism and who want to continue to build empathy for men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a serious thing I'm trying to do, you know. It's not a social meetup, it's a confidential group.
Mm-hmm.
We have had one meeting so far, and the next one's on the 28th of April.
And this is done on social media, these meetings, sort of like what we're doing now?
No, this is in real life.
Oh, okay.
In real life, yeah.
And
so the idea is to get off social media.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yes. And I was going to ask, so I like that you're calling it women's liberation, but non-feminist, because this is like one of those things that I've been another thing that I try to drive home. So whenever I get into debates or discussions with anyone, whether they're feminist or not, about, you know, men's issues or men's rights talking points, I get this blowback of, you know, the then if I'm doing that, why do I also criticize feminism? And there it often leads to, do you have a problem with feminism because it's about women's rights, right? And I say the argument I try to get across to people is that not only do you not have to care about you don't have to agree with feminism to care about women's rights. Like, you don't have to be a feminist to care about women's rights, but it's actually probably better if you're not a feminist and you care about women's rights, because, you know, there's just like actions. It's like separating, what I'm trying to get at is it's separating women's issues from feminism, because they're not connected. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. I would say that women's issues are the actual issues, but feminism is the activism that has been done in this name of women as victims and blaming men for everything, and it's just destructive. It's not productive to any kind of real conversation and mm-hmm. any progress, you know. So if we're going to deal with issues, let's deal with women's issues. If you want to call yourself a feminist, go be a feminist over there, but we are going to deal with the actual issues, please and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So basically that's what I was just going to say about what you're calling it. And it is sort of like what Lucien Valsan has said, you know, you have to win the labels war and then you win the propaganda war. So I like that, yeah, that you're doing it from this angle. So like, what, how did that first meeting go?
So there was only three of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it went.
That's okay.
yeah. No, so the idea is to have around 10 women. And you don't really need or want much more. I think 15 could be maximum, but 10, I think, is a good number. And we just discussed why we're all there and what we want from the group. Mm-hmm. And it was more about how we could promote the group rather than anything else, because, you know, there was only three of us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm taking this quite slowly, and I want to make sure that we get a nice group of ladies together, ones that are taking it seriously and not some right. kind of mole from Hope Not Hate or something like that. Yeah. You know, security is extremely important. So, you know, for the next meeting, I've got 6 people coming.
So you've already doubled the number. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I can probably get some more, but we'll see. We've still got a week or so mm-hmm. before we're going to have it. I will be giving these ladies some homework, which is basically to watch the Red Pill movie if they haven't watched it yet.
Ho, ho, ho.
I think most of them have, that I've spoken yeah. to or aware. But I don't know, I haven't gone into detail with the participants yet, whether they've seen that movie or whether they know enough about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
We will see. You know, this is a pilot scheme in terms of the fact that I want to do this for, say, 6 months, get it running, get to see what the ladies really need, what their needs are, what their wants are, you know, what's the best way of doing it. And then the plan is that once that's sort of sorted, then we can start writing a kind of model on the best way to run this kind of group and what kind of education and information people will need. Mm-hmm. And eventually it'll become a kind of model that you can use. And then, you know, these groups could be franchised out elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is the plan. Anyone wants to attend and you are living in the UK, mm-hmm. This group is in London. So, you know, obviously if you live in London, that's great. But if you live near London, do try and come along. I'm running it from meetup.com and it's called Non-Feminist Women's Liberation Network, and I've got a Facebook page called Women's Liberation Network, not Non-Feminist, because what I found on meetup.com was that people don't tend to engage properly with the groups that they are joining sometimes, so I had to make it very clear, whereas yeah. on Facebook I believe that they have some dodgy algorithms for content they don't like.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely. They absolutely yeah. do.
So that's why I deliberately didn't label it Non-Feminist. I just left it Women's Liberation Network.
I'm reminded of a okay, so there's like a meetup group here in Chicago, and a friend of mine was looking for some like basically politically like-minded people, and he's kind of like an ANCAP, libertarian, minarchist type, right? And he found that there was a Libertarian Party of Chicago. So he was like really excited because this is a pretty like social justice-y city, right? And so he found it and he's like, I'm going to go meet with them and see what they're about. And he went, and like when I saw him, he said, oh yeah, I hung out with them. And I said, so what are they like? And he's like, they're basically all communists. So like, it doesn't make any sense. They're like libertarian communists? Like, so it just, he felt deceived because he was expecting, you know, libertarians, but he got the opposite of that. But they thought of themselves as libertarian because they're kind of, you know, they're anti-government, but because they want to replace it with what they think is some kind of voluntary communist model, which, you know, that's pie in the sky if there ever was anything. But it's just funny because the language in the title made it sound one way. And then he still was like, but they were, you know, pretty nice guys. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool, I guess, you know. So, but yeah, not what he was expecting. So I guess in a way, you know, if people like found it called Women's Liberation Network, they may, you know, get involved and then find out it's non-feminist. But if the talking points still align with their beliefs, you know, then they might stick around as opposed to being turned off. And as you said, Facebook definitely lowers the profiles of groups that they don't like or find appealing. Like, for example, my wife liked the Steven Crowder fan page, but she never, ever gets notifications about when shows go up for his channel. And they do go up on Facebook, like they're supposed to, but she never sees any of it. And I don't even follow him, but I don't see it either. I get stuff I never look for. It's like, or you get creepy shit where you're like searching on Amazon for something and then you go to Facebook and you see nothing but ads for that thing you looked for on Amazon. Creepy, but anyway. So we got a little bit off topic, but nonetheless, I really like what you're doing and I hope that it continues to grow exponentially, in fact. And it looks like there is some interest.
Same here. I definitely second that. It sounds like it's going to be a very good thing.
Are you going to try and keep it kind of women exclusive? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that women are more likely to join groups if that are sort of named for women if they feel like it's going to be a bit exclusive. So,
yeah, this group is specifically for women. And I've made it kind of clear that it's for women who are biological sex and gender. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's another whole issue that we just, you know, we just want to talk to women who are actively trying to reject feminism. Sorry, I'm just making that clear. And I mean, so I would like, I think in the future there could be, space for a kind of workshop or seminar for anyone who is concerned about how much this ideology has infiltrated their thinking and basically like a recovery system. But that's not what I'm concentrating on for now. But I think that's something that could happen in the future, and there's definitely, you know, could be a market for it, and that's not necessarily gender specific. You know, but in, as you know, in the UK, there is a network called Network for Men, who I'm closely affiliated with. And, they provide a network of meetups for men who want to befriend each other and help each other through any kinds of men's rights issues they might have, or just general issues to do with being a man in the UK, and that, you know, you can speak freely. I don't think that one's necessarily run in a peer support group style that I'm trying to do. But yeah, for any of you out there who didn't know, I'm sure that you guys have mentioned it numerous times on this show.
Yeah.
Or on Honey Badger at some point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. There was something else I wanted to ask you about. So I'm, again, you know, I hope that good luck with that. I hope it works out. I think that it's very promising, and I'm kind of excited to see where it goes from there. So I got a couple super chats I should read out. Mr. Roboto gave us $2. Thank you, Mr. Roboto. And he says, if you don't blame males, who is called misogynistic? I think it's a little bit poorly worded, but I think what he means is, if you don't blame men, who would you call misogynistic? The betrayer women, I guess. Christoph Urson, thank you, gives us $5 and says, hey, Badgers, hope these shekels keep up your badgery goodness. Thank you guys for those donations. Also, Natty, I don't know if it's okay for you to talk about this at all, but I guess on the 20th, you're going to be actually doing this incel interview. Is that something you can't talk about?
No, we can talk about it. It just, I don't know. I didn't tell, I didn't tell the participant that I was going to talk
about okay. There is one coming up.
I'm going to be doing an interview with a guy who identifies as incel. And he's a huge fan of you guys as well. So we're going to be doing that on the 20th, and we're going to be doing it in a nice kind of studio environment. So it's not like just hanging out on Skype or Google Hangout style.
Okay.
So that should be good. You know, I guess actually maybe you guys, what is there any questions or anything that you think that we should discuss? I'm sure there's lots of things, but you know, is there anything that you would like to push to me that I should talk about?
You're talking, are you asking me personally?
Yeah, both of you or anyone in the chat.
Yeah, I would say if the chat, if you guys have any ideas for something like a topic that they can broach, I think I know what, you know, like, I guess my thing is, because it's just an interview with an incel, but, and I think you're going to cover most of the bases that I imagine you would. I guess the one thing that I want to try to clarify, and I think Lauren would, she definitely has some thoughts on this as well, but the one thing I want to clarify is that the way the incel label is being used these days is, it's clearly disparaging. It's intended to tear men down, tear incels down specifically, who are probably like the, you know, that it's really kicking people when they're down. Like they're not, these are not 100%. Like, yeah, these are not guys that are like, you know, not that I think any man should be disparaged, but you're really like scraping the bottom of the barrel here. And it actually exposes how little we think of men who are not sexually successful, especially amongst people who claim to care about equality. And that's where the most shame comes from. And so I guess I'd like to explore that, and also what to clarify for people, like what it means to be an incel, which is A, it's not something that a person wants to be, so therefore it couldn't be a movement, for example, and B, that it's not as, you know, they kind of like frame it, again, to frame it negatively, they kind of try to frame it as though there's something sexually entitled or sexually predatory about it. And I don't think it's any of those things. I honestly don't even think that POAs are sexually predatory. I just think that they have, you know, they know what they want, and they're using tools to get it. But yeah. I don't consider it to be predatory. So because that presumes that women are nothing more than, you know, deer in the woods that don't know what's going to happen. Like they don't have any sexual agency. That's why I don't like that term, unless you're talking about pedophiles or something, you know. But anyhow, so that's what I would say. So, Lauren, you can add on to that if you like.
Yeah, no, I would agree with both of those questions. And, I would want to know from him personally why he feels he is involuntarily celibate. There's a huge distinction between being celibate and involuntarily celibate, but why does he feel that there's just no hope for him?
I think that would be the main question.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think who knows what the actual number is, right? There's no way to quantify it. But how many of these guys could actually go out and attract a person if they just applied themselves, you know? And if it's just a matter of having the self-confidence, what is it that you feel would give you that boost in self-confidence? You know, what is it that you think is missing from your life that would give you that confidence to be able to overcome your situation? Or if they feel it's a situation that can be overcome at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think those are all really good points and questions that you've brought up. I completely agree that the incel term now is used as a pejorative and to bash men around with. Constantly, I, you know, engage in conversations in places like Facebook or whatever. And you're, you know, I'm in a group that's for young people. I'm I'm old, I shouldn't be in there, but it's young people, and they constantly say, oh yeah, he's just an incel. And I always respond back by saying, so it's his fault he's an incel then, is it?
Yeah.
It's no one else's fault. I'm, you know, like, it's, he made that decision, and it's because he is heavily flawed in some way. And for example, there could be a flaw that he has, and I'm careful not to state that a disability is a flaw. But what I'm saying is a flaw that he himself might feel and other people feel that is a flaw. That might not be, but most people would see it as that in that way. And therefore, that makes him less attractive in the market to women. And then they always respond like, oh, you're just, you know, you're just, what's this new term now? A pick me bitch or something like that.
Yep.
That kind of thing. And I'm just like, no, seriously, like, do you really think that all of these guys who might be going through this kind of this scenario of either calling themselves an incel or, you know, having a period of time where that is what's happening for them, you really just genuinely think it's only their fault? Like, it's, they have done something to put themselves in that situation. Like, they, mm-hmm. it's like they've actively willed it. And it's really interesting that they just keep using it in that way. I always respond with, you know, well, you know, do you think that somebody who is perhaps has a disability or a health condition or mental health or has been abused, you know, you think these things are his fault?
Right.
And people never have a response. So I want to explore that in much more detail. Yeah. So, I mean, if anyone in the chat has anything they would like me to talk about, then please
leave a comment. Yeah, leave a comment if you're not going to say it in the chat right now. So I got another super chat here from Zeranx for $5, who says, there's some videos by a YouTuber called Monday Blue that might give you some ideas. The first video I saw was his response to Sargon. Monday Blue is like an incel YouTuber. I'm assuming that's what you mean by that.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll look at it. Monday Blue. It's the song by New Order with the words reversed. So instead of Blue Monday, it's Monday Blue. All right. So the next item, we're going to go on to the next item. I'm looking forward to that incel interview. I have been for a while. I know the guy who you're going to be talking to, and I like him a lot. He's a cool dude. So I'm looking forward to what he puts out. So this man you're looking at on the screen is the CEO of eGuard Watches. And I don't know if you remember, but shortly after the Gillette ad, the infamous Gillette ad that everyone was talking about, that was supposedly discussing, you know, what a real man is, while also claiming to ask men to push away from the stereotypes of what a real man is, which is toxic masculinity for them. eGuard Watches put out a video. I think it was called We See the Good in Men, and it was a really good video. And so this guy put out a kind of a PSA statement, and it's not brand new, but I definitely wanted to show it to you guys if you hadn't seen it, because I think it's a really great thing. And there are some people who create products that are pushing back against this anti-male sentiment that is so rampant in our advertising and our media and stuff. So, but first, let me read out this super chat from Q Brother Soulstar, who gives us $5. Thank you, sir. And says, I don't know about incels, but how does a male sexual assault / abuse survivor learn to trust again? It takes
That's a
time.
Good question.
Yeah, it takes therapy, help, and time. And I'm not qualified to give you a really good answer, but if you're talking about yourself, man, I'm really sorry, brother, that happened to you. And try to connect with people close to you. You know, honestly, and I'm not shilling. I don't like doing that, but the Discord for Honey Badger Brigade has a lot of, you know, great people. We have a mental health section. We have things that we discuss. The community discusses this stuff all the time. Prim Reaper, you know, that she's, you know, going for her doctorate in therapy, and she specifically wants to focus on men. So it might be something worth looking into. So I would check that out as well. At the ICMI, we're going to have some people that have a specialization in the areas of male mental health as well. So, you know, maybe, you know, we could look into that as well. I don't know. So, but yeah, it's my sympathies, and I stay strong, brother. So, all right. So let's take a look at this video from E-Guard, the E-Guard watch guy. I forget his name. I think it's E-Guard something. So.
Hi, my name's Elan. I'm the founder of Eggard Watches. Some of you may know, I started this company as a way to say thank you and pay tribute to my father, who's an incredible, positive male role model in my life. I recently made a video called What is a Man? And so many people watched the video and then wrote in with amazing stories of positive male role models in their lives. And it motivated me to come up with a way to share everyone's stories. So we're starting a campaign. It's called We See the Good.
Okay, I'm just pausing for the banana there. So he's starting a campaign. Let's keep going. I got Eggard Watches. I said that wrong. You look at the word, it looks like, you know, it's something foreign that's pronounced Eggard, but it's Eggard Watches. Okay, let's keep going.
And essentially, it's a campaign to just spread positive messages for all the positive male role models we've had in our lives. And what we're asking is that you upload a video to YouTube. You put in the title, Eggard Watches, We See the Good, and then you email it to us at thegood@eggardwatches.com. Don't worry about all this. It's all in the description, so you'll be able to see all that information in the description of the video. And we're going to take those videos. We're going to put them on our website. We're going to share them. We're going to build a campaign around it. We hope to do giveaways and also eventually do some kind of award for the top stories. So if you're interested, please share this message with people. Please get the word out. And we'd really love to share so many positive messages of people in our lives who've made a difference. And we're asking you to help us.
Okay. So that's the campaign. Eggard Watches. It's I think it's awesome. And their ad, which is right here, was literally entitled What is a Man? A Response to Gillette. So they were responding to Gillette when they made the ad. And so the link to this is in the low bar. If you look, you'll see sources, and there's a Patreon post. You can view this post whether or not you're a patron. It'll have a link to this video, which is called We See the Good. Please watch. If you want to participate in that, check that out. And yeah, I guess I give it to you guys. Natty, what do you think? And then Lauren, what do you think?
I think that's really heartwarming. It's making me smile. It's really sweet that these guys are doing this. I think they've just obviously noticing the trends, just thinking, well, I mean, these are our values and we're going to do something to counter it. I'm just really pleased that they're putting themselves out there. And I genuinely can't see anyone in the UK doing this, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you guys have someone. I suppose when the Martin Daubney from Men and Boys Coalition got the Harry's Masculinity Report produced and then, did a meeting in Parliament about it.
Yeah.
I suppose Harry's sponsoring it was pretty good, but I don't think they're gonna. Yeah, I
yeah,
don't
yeah,
think
yeah. That's right.
Go
they
out
did
their way to do something like this, though.
No, Harry's has they have done some feminist stuff too. I think they're just kind of like playing it safe more than anything else. So I don't think this guy. He's kind of a, you know, this is a spark of light in the darkness. There aren't too many people that would advocate for men as a primary part of their marketing platform. They either don't believe it's profitable because they don't think men will care, or they think it's politically incorrect. I mean, it's, you know, it's the thing about advertising is I guess, or marketing. And I'm not making a moral argument. I'm just looking, I'm trying to be on the one hand as, I'm trying to be kind of considerate, I guess. Most of the purchases, 80% of the purchases made are made by women. And even more of them are made on behalf of women. So like, you know, the majority of what's left over is usually bought for women by men. And so it makes sense that most advertising would be sort of tailored towards women because they are the ones making the majority of the purchases. And what I think companies like Gillette and so many others think they're doing, well, I think with the Gillette thing, they got like a radical feminist that actually hates men to make the ad. But I think as in terms of like the board members and stuff, I think what they thought they were doing was if they made a video ad that was pandering to women's sensibilities, they would sell more products. And I think that's like, didn't the other Gillette ad that was recently made was something for, was for really, really fat women. And so they like had this body positive message in it. It's like they know that, you know, that women buy most stuff. So they're just going to pander to them. And sometimes they think that shaming men works. And that's why I think that in some ways, when it comes to like the misandry in the media, it's about trying to shift women's what works on women in terms of like their attitudes towards men. If you move it away from that and they honor their men more and they love their men more and they care about how they're portrayed, then I think the marketing will change because they'll say, well, shit, you know, we're not going to sell if the misandry that we're putting in our advertising doesn't work because the women stand with their men. So I think this is like, this is a really nice gesture, but I guess I'm just sort of explaining why something like this is so unusual.
Yeah. I'd love it. I mean, I think especially in this climate, political climate that we're in right now, any kind of positive message should be welcomed with open arms. You know, it's just a wonderful message. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more of it. But going back to what you were saying, Brian, not only do I fully believe that they know that advertising like this is pandering to women will only, they know that women spend the money. They know who their mm-hmm. audience is. It's not only do they know it, it's their business model at this point.
Yeah. And I know that sounds cynical, but the thing is that I think of it like this. Let's look at the Gillette ad, for example. The woman that made the Gillette ad was an ideologue. She's an activist. She uses her films, her ads to make a point about the way how she wants the world to be. She's got utopian ideas, right? But the people who work at Gillette that are at the top, that are in the marketing departments, they're not politically active people. They're people that are interested in profit. So they're basically like, okay, so we need to make money. What sells? Well, we pander to women. Okay, so how do we do that? Like, I guess we'll hire a woman who's a prominent, filmmaker that's made lots of really great advertising. Well, look it up. Well, here's this chick that's done, you know, literal vagina videos. Okay, well, let's hire her. Like, that's what she did, right? So they got her to do it, and they didn't. It's like they're not seeing it in the same way that we see it, but that woman does. She sees it from the feminist perspective.
Well, I have to say that another layer on this is my husband was saying that he thinks that they knew that the Gillette ad was deliberately going to be controversial mm-hmm. within the current climate. So it's not just, you know, let's get a feminist woman filmmaker and, you know, let's put some woke messaging in. But like the next layer on top of that is, oh, you know, with the current climate being as it is, this will cause lots of noise. And it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so therefore that will help us too.
Absolutely. So
he was being quite cynical in that way and saying that they know that it was going to be divisive.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what happens from that is what the ultimate consequence of that is it sets women against men. And when you do that, society sides with women. So that's going to be the result. So Gillette can do that and it won't result in a net negative. I mean, people, sure, there are people boycotting, but it's not going to make an impact at the end of the day. So, I mean, I know that that sounds cynical from my perspective, but that's honestly what I believe. I think that even if you get people to boycott, they'll forget after a while, or they'll just continue buying Procter & Gamble products somewhere else without even knowing it because they make so much stuff. So,
yeah, that's true. There is quite a few products that they make, and there's a few products that they have a monopoly over as well, which is quite annoying. Mm-hmm. But they, I was wondering if at the time when it was happening, if their sales had been dipping a little bit, and that's why they did this. Is that true? Do you know?
It could be. It could be. And I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, we're talking about razors, and that's kind of
the market's expanded in the recent times. You know, I did mention mm-hmm. Harry's earlier.
Yeah, Harry's and Dollar Shave Club. Yes. So they're trying to find new ways to compete because Harry's and I think Harry's does this too. Harry's and Dollar Shave Club, they deliver to your door, right? And it's very inexpensive. Yeah. So this could certainly be like a Hail Mary play to like get more sales. And I know that, you know, it's not just about the money. I think that there is a knowledge that, like I said before, if you create something controversial that sets group A against group B, and that those two groups are males and females, women will win out because men will side with women. So yeah. The men and women who voice disapproval of the ad campaign will pale in numbers compared to the ones that support it because they don't really think too much about it. So
also, I have to say that week, so when the Gillette ad came out, I went into the drugstore, as you call them, and there were Gillette stands everywhere, like temporary stands. So they'd obviously prepared their marketing, their visual merchandising for that ad. Because I'm not saying they never have a stand, maybe sometimes, but I went in there that week and they had like a massive Gillette stand with all their products highlighted, you know, away from where they're normally sold. And I was mm-hmm. like, wow, these guys are really going in. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you if you guys thought about reaching out to this guy.
I have. I've already reached out to him, but I haven't heard back from him yet.
Okay. So, you know, do you think he would talk at ICMI?
I don't know. I've been trying to get him specifically to get him on for a fireside chat and to see, well, if I can get him on for a fireside chat, then I would use that to try to get him to come to ICMI. Because I certainly think that this is something that he should be involved in. Absolutely. I've actually reached out to him. Yes. And that was actually bringing me back to the thing that I actually think is more important. So you can't boycott everything. I think that that's, I mean, like, I'm not saying that there's no point. What I'm saying is that it's only half the work. The other half is you have to support the stuff from the people that are sending the message that you like. That doesn't mean everyone has to go out and buy an Eggert watch because I know they're not cheap. But you should certainly support the company, like spread the message, maybe make the video he's asking for. You know, be a part of what they're doing. Try to help the business grow because it tells them that that messaging, which I'm sure is something that he genuinely believes in, that messaging is also not wasted, right? So I think that it's half of it is, you know, don't buy the stuff that you don't like, that's not sending the message you like, but also try to support the stuff that you do like. You know, try to make it about that. In fact, if you could, try to do that more. Try to find stuff that's doing that better. I think there's been other companies that have done, at the very least, non-feminist, you know, advertising messaging. So try to support that.
Do you think this guy has done some like market research as well and has seen a growth in bachelors, aka MGTOW?
It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. And they might be because I think the biggest, like of all the Manosphere groups, I think the PUAs are the largest ones.
Those guys.
Yeah, and the PUAs, they'll want to what? Exactly. They'll want to have a nice watch. And they're pretty woke on feminism and stuff. So I think that there is,
and
it's
possible. They're all neckbeards anyway.
Yeah, so they're all neckbeards anyway. incel PUA MGTOWs. It's all
right.
The same.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I think that it's possible, and at the very least, he knows that not a lot of people are marketing things this way, so he's trying it in another way. I just wish that, like, I want to see more people do that with products that are more accessible. Like I said, I think these watches are pretty expensive. I looked into it, but I am glad, obviously, that this is the approach. I think it takes a lot of courage to do this. So, somebody says PUA in 2019, Omega lull. Well, they're out there. They're bigger than MRAs and MGTOW. You know, I mean, are they still? Yes. They have gigantic conferences. I mean, there was one that was on YouTube just the other day. Hell yeah. It was like bigger than a TEDx. I mean, they were huge. And it was like, I forget who it was. I don't want to say the name. I don't know if it's Rollo Tomasi or something. It might not be him. But there were some prominent figures that were up there doing speeches. And I mean, these were huge, like enormous. And I know the PU, it makes perfect sense to me. Of the three, if we're going to just split it down to three groups, the MRAs, the MGTOW, and the PUAs. The PUAs are going to be the biggest because the men that are experiencing red pill rage that wants a solution to their problem are more likely to embrace PUA, the PUA approach, because it gets them everything they want in the immediate, and they're probably a bit say black-pilled about actually changing society to where they care about men more. So it tends to be where they go. So
and
look, it's just a reality. I don't have a problem with it. I think that you know, I think that the POAs, MRAs, and MGTOW should not be fighting against each other. I think that we have to collectivize. We have to like try to strengthen each other, because I think that ultimately they want what we want is mostly the same. So because the POAs can't, well, anyway, that's a whole other conversation. I'm just saying this is the truth. You you might not like it, but that's the truth, is that most men want to be POAs.
I don't disagree at all. It's just, if you're talking about the kind of red pill PUA guys,
that's what I mean.
I know who all those guys are.
Well, and the blue pill ones. I mean, I was going to say
the blue pill ones. I've lost some in some ways. I do live in an echo chamber sometimes, because I kind of forget that you know, that whole thing's still going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still loads of kind of relationship coaches, PUA types in that, you know, in the blue pilled world. And I kind of lost track of who.
Yeah.
You know, like years ago, I used to follow him. I mean, he's not necessarily a PUA, and he was his audience was women, because I was a woman, so I obviously noticed mm-hmm. him a bit more. But do you remember this guy, Evan Mark Katz?
Yeah, remember I've heard him? Of that. I've heard
I
of
remember him.
Him
years ago, following him a little bit online. But like, I don't really know who else is out there now. So,
well, I mean, the a lot of the usual guys that have been doing it for a while are out there. I'm not talking about Roosh. He's not the guy. He's basically been active online, but not going to these giant events. It seems to me, based on what I've seen, that the blue pill PUAs are like almost gone. It's all red pill PUAs now. And I think that makes perfect sense. Even like there was the guy, I forget what he was called, the no nonsense man, who he wouldn't call himself a PUA, but he basically was a PUA, except that their audience is women mostly. And he's the guy who's appeared on Fox News. He was in the opening of the red pill. He was like, you know, when men talk to you, they want to die sooner. He was like that guy that's like a smart ass on Fox. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that guy. He's great.
Sorry, I'm picturing him in my head.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, when they have to argue with a woman like you, they want to die sooner. All right, so... anyway, this isn't really a discussion about PUAs. I was just bringing it up because I've noticed that in the world of the red pill men, the PUA man is the most common. So, and I know that it makes sense. It's not Mark Rubio, but you're close. He's like an Italian guy. You know who I'm talking about. Anyway, let's move on to the last story We're at almost 7. We've been going for almost an hour. That's great. This is very exciting. I love this. I love this. So there is now a wiki for men. It's called Wiki for Men, the number 4. I put a link in the low bar. And basically, it is a repository for information, studies, and research on men and boys and the broad range of issues affecting them. So it's a Wikipedia for just men's issues. This is something that I've been saying that we should have for a long time. I was actually proposing it to Allison, although we don't have the manpower. We didn't have the manpower to put it together. I was going to call it the Badger Wiki, where basically it would have data for every single men's rights talking point, every feminist myth, all the prominent people, you know, all of the discussions, so that if someone was to, like, you know, look into us, they can just go to the wiki. Or if someone needs a resource, or if someone needs, you know, to make an argument or something, they have all of the info at their fingertips. And a lot of times there were other pages. Like, I remember there was a big Facebook page that had a whole bunch of resources on it, and it was really great. But then the resources, a lot of the links, you know, they disappeared. Maybe the websites got taken down or something. And so they're building another one. So I would imagine, I'm not sure how this stuff works. This is the reason why I never did it myself, because I don't know how to do it. So I would imagine you guys would be able to log in and, like, add. This is still pretty early, but let's look at, I'll show you the articles so you guys can see. It's in alphabetical order. We can look at, see, here's some of the entries. They got Allison has a page, A Voice for Men. The Apex Fallacy. In case you don't know, the Apex Fallacy is the idea that feminists say that men have the most powerful positions in government. They have the, you know, they're the CEOs of top 500, like, you know, Fortune 500 companies. All this stuff where they basically look at only the men at the very top, and they never look below themselves, because of course they don't. So there's the Apex Fallacy. There's the Duluth Model, Domestic Violence. Elizabeth Hobson is in here. The Empathy Gap, Feminism, Gynocentrism, Intactivism. So, but there's still a lot of stuff that's empty, and this could be filled out. But there's a lot in here. MGTOW, Men's Human Rights Movement, Men's Human Rights Websites, Mike Buchanan, Misandry, NAFALT, Naked Feminist, Robert Brockway, Street Harassment, Suffrage, The Victorian Fallacy, Violence, Women Are Wonderful, Work, Zeta Male. So there's not a lot in here, but it's work, it's building. And I want to see this grow. This is a great, great thing. If they can, like, develop it, I think this would be an amazing tool for people, right?
So now, I have the perfect person to suggest this to who would write for it. Sorry. Interrupted you there.
Who?
Oh, just to... So my friend, I don't think he'll want me to say his name.
Oh, it's okay. You don't have to. So you're saying you know a friend.
Yeah, so he's an admin in Women Against Feminism group, and he's always writing stuff on Quora. And he's started a blog recently as well. But he's always writing, like, he's always got really articulate things to say, way better than me. So yeah, I will definitely be sending this to him.
Send that to him.
who's created it? Sorry,
I don't know. Elizabeth sent it to me, and unfortunately, she can't come on. She's not around right now. She was going to be on the show, but I guess she was just too tired. And I asked her, you know, who put this together, and she never responded. She must have fallen asleep. But I have the link to it in the low bar. It's on the Patreon page. I can send it to you myself, Natty, if you need it, and then you can pass it along. I want to see this thing cover everything. I think this is amazing. I mean, Cassie J should be in here. The Red Pill should be in here. All of the stuff, all the Boko Haram stuff should be in there. As many things as you can cram in here should be in here. And I don't know. Maybe this is asking a lot, but maybe someone did it. I remember there used to be a YouTube channel years ago called Misandry in the Media, where this guy archived every single misandrist piece of advertising and television show and movie, and he added all in one place, and he was basically, like, adding to it and adding to it. I think the channel's gone, though. I think it's been gone for quite a while. But nonetheless, Lauren, what do you think? Well, you were going to say something before Natty spoke up.
Well, I agree with you. I think this is a great idea. My only thing, my cynical mind is thinking here, is it going to be able to be hijacked by, you know, the people that hijack every other Wikipedia page?
Possibly. You know? Possibly. But I mean, that people, like, they go in and correct shit so fast that as long as we have people on top of it, it wouldn't last very long. Peter Wright, by the way, who's in the chat. Hello, Peter Wright. He said Robert Brockaway created it with support of AVFM. So there you go.
Nice.
AVFM and Robert Brockaway put it together.
I was going to say, I know that someone told me they were doing this ages ago, and I was racking my brain as to who it was. So that's why I was asking you to confirm.
Yeah, I mentioned it. I've been talking about saying we should have, like, a page like this, a wiki for this stuff, for years. It might have been something, because I was in Australia when the ICMI was there, and it may have come up there. So Peter Wright says it can't be hijacked because it will be monitored and trolls removed. So there you go. Awesome. Thank you, Peter. This is great. I swear to God, this is amazing. I love this. This is like, if we can just get this done, this would be the one of the biggest achievements I think we could have this year. And I know that sounds like I'm blowing it up a lot, but I think that, like, as long as you have this, you can just go back and reference it, you know, whenever the wiki is there, you can just go right to it and get whatever you need. I love this idea. This is fantastic.
Okay. I'll be messaging Peter to introduce him to my friend, because I think my friend will really want to write for this.
Yeah, definitely.
They need someone, that is.
So I assume, Peter, since you're in the chat, yeah, people would probably, like, need to be kind of like, if they want to change the pages legitimately, you'd probably have to, you know, like, screen people so that you know that they're going to, like, you know, they're not going to come in and just, like, fuck with shit. So, but yeah, this is good. This is good. I'm glad. Let's look at Allison's entry. I want to see what it says. Maybe there's a picture. There's no picture yet, but Allison Tiemann is a Canadian men's rights advocate. She founded Honey Badger Radio in 2013 as a podcast focusing on women, bringing attention to men's issues. Well, that's changed. Honey Badger Radio has since grown to the largest collaborative YouTube channel talking about gender and politics from a position inclusive of men's issue. I don't think we're the biggest anymore, though. I don't know. I guess it depends on how you word it. I think Paul Elam's channel has gotten bigger than us, and so has... what's her name? Diana Davidson, which is fine. It's not a contest. So yeah. But I'm, again, like, this is good stuff. So
there is an incel wiki. Not that, you know,
really?
I don't know if you've seen. Yeah, kind of. I don't know if it's an official one, but there's an incel version of this.
That's interesting. No, I didn't know that. We could probably, well, I don't know. I don't know how wikis work, but it should definitely grow. Peter Wright says, great. It needs lots of new writers. There's an email on the homepage that goes to Robert. Anyone interested in contributing can email him and he'll give edit permissions. So there you go, guys. If you, like, you know, if you don't want to be on shows, if you don't feel like you can talk, but you certainly can contribute writing, then you should definitely be part of the wiki. I think that you guys should all contribute to the wiki. So if you do, maybe email Robert. Let's see, is it here in the about wiki for men? Perhaps, possibly? No? I don't know. I don't see it. it's on here. So, oh, here it is. president@amrainc.org, I think. Yep, this is it right here. So you can just email that. And then they'll set you up and Robert will hook you up. So good on you for this. I love this. This is my favorite thing. All right. So with that said, let me just check and see if there's any other super chats. We do have one. Mr. Roboto gives us $2 and says, pickup artists are shills for the women. All right. Thank you, Mr. Roboto. I don't necessarily disagree. I get what you're saying. I think that there can be a discussion around that, but ultimately, though, I think that I think that PUAs want some of the stuff that MRAs want. So, but we don't know until we talk to them. So maybe I'll get a PUA on and we'll find out what really makes them tick. Anyway, so we're going to go into the after show. We're going to continue the discussion about all the stuff that we talked about in today's show. If you guys want to be a part of the after show, then you just need to go to feedthebadger.com, make a monthly donation, and that'll get you into the Discord where there's the community and there are game nights and, you know, there's different levels for different kinds of access. For this show, we're going to be in the Direhawk's Den, which is basically available to everybody. So you have complete, you know, ability to go in and talk to us and hang out in the after show. So to do that again, that's feedthebadger.com. To become a badger yourself, please consider joining us there. And yeah, that's about it. So please give us a like, comment, subscribe, and hit the bell for notifications. I want to thank Natty for coming on so late because I think it's like, what, midnight over there or something?
It's 1:04.
It's 1. Wow. Thank you so much for coming on. And I want to thank Lauren as well. It's 8 o'clock where she is. But hey, for some people, that's past bedtime. And
the night is young, Brian. The night is young.
That's right. So, yeah, with that said, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Thanks, guys, for coming on This Week in Men's Rights. We'll see you on Sunday. I think we're going to be doing a fundraiser. So I'll see you guys then. Thanks again for coming on, everybody. Have a great night.